What's up and welcome to the Invincibly Broken Podcast, a weekly talk show hosted by your boys, Orlando and Julian, talking about today's society, their family lives, and anything they damn well please. So sit back, relax, turn up the volume, and enjoy the show. Julian, do you find yourself to be an aggressive person?
I absolutely do not find myself being an aggressive person. I'm actually the far opposite of that.
So obviously, you know a lot of people, or a lot of specifically men, that are like uber aggressive or like angry. And I think I'm really trying to get to that, like those guys that are always looking for a fight. I know we've talked about like toxic masculinity and certain stereotypes of men. But one of the things that I think a lot of people have, I mean, you don't even have to say a lot of people talk about it. I think it's just proven over history is that men just like to fight.
That is definitely, I do believe that that is something actually somewhere along the evolutionary road that we've taken. That's actually probably part of our DNA somewhere in there.
Yeah, I always find it really interesting. You know, we've talked about us working together at a nightclub where we're both bouncers. So we've both seen our fair share of fights. And I'm sure you've probably had a couple of run-ins growing up. As any young man usually has to go through in some type of rite of passage, right? Like not everybody, but you know, usually young men or boys end up finding themselves in situations where they either have to defend themselves or they have to run away or they just take it, right? They get bullied or beat up.
I do agree with that. Like I actually didn't really get into many fights growing up. Mm-hmm. Up until I actually became a bouncer.
Yeah.
And I think to me, a part of it was that need, because yeah, I've gotten like in a scuffle or two. Now, as far as like, you know, that whole thing that they talk, that you said, like a rite of passage, I had rites of passage that were violent, but not necessarily was because I was in a fight. It's just, you know, I have an older brother, all his friends were my friends. So I got the shit kicked out of me on a regular basis. And I just kind of had to sit there and take it, maybe fight back, you know, hey, how much can you take kind of thing. So there was violence involved, but I actually never really got into like a fight many times. Until I became a bouncer, then I kind of came into my own.
Yeah, well, you had no choice. You was like baptism by fire, with that
and spit and ice and water.
Yeah, bottles, and everything that came that way.
But the occasional taser.
I didn't get into a lot of fights growing up. My first fist fight ever, I still remember. I was 7 or 8 years old. I think I was in second grade. It was this kid, Carlos, who was a dick. For a seven-year-old, he was just a douche, and he tortured my life all the time. I remember always telling my mom that he picks on me and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, my mom gave me the speech like, you know, papi, don't worry about it. He's just jealous of you. Just, you know, ignore him. If he continues to pick on you, tell a teacher, blah, 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 blah. And then he had, like, pushed me once, and then I had came home, and I had told the teacher. And I told my mom, and my mom's like, he pushed you? And I'm like, yeah. She goes, he pushes you again. And if you can hit him, and mommy's not going to get mad at you. But he ended up pushing me while I was taking a piss in a urinal.
Ugh.
Yeah, right? You know, like it's fucked up. And it was one of the old school urinals, you know, the ones that go all the way to the floor.
Oh.
Yeah. So like I went in there, right? And I was 7. So I like literally like went in and I was, you know, I turned around and I was pissed, dude. So I turned around and I shoved him and I think I gave him a pretty good shove and he punched me in the eye. And bro, I literally I didn't know that shit was real. Like in the cartoons that you see stars and lightning strikes and all that shit when you get punched in the face. So I remember like, oh, he hit me. And then I don't like natural reaction. I just hit him back and I hit him in the eye. And then it was broken up, right? Like, I went to a Catholic school. There were like nuns running around and everybody's upset. But I just remember I still remember that was my first fight. And, you know, but after that, I never really got into a fight. Probably, I think I was like 17, 18, which was shortly before I started working at the club.
No, yeah, I mean, I totally understand. Again, I never really got into fights growing up, mainly because even though my big brother beat me up, but he was very protective of me. Mm-hmm. He was like the type of person like, no, only I can beat the shit out of him. Mm-hmm. And he actually stood up and defended me a lot. So I never really had to give somebody two peas and a biscuit up until later in life.
So I find that interesting because I'm the older brother, right? I have a younger brother, but I never picked on my brother, and nor me and my brother never really, we roughed house, but we never got into any fights. Like, I never like beat my brother up, and my brother was always too small to beat me up, but we were like best friends. Like, honestly, like I see, like, it's not unheard of, right? I've seen other siblings kind of like what you're describing, where they beat the snot out of their younger brothers or sisters and stuff like that. But I've never had that before. Like, me and my brother never had that relationship at any point of our lives. So let me ask you this, like, what do you think? Do you think that had an effect on you by your brother, you know, constantly like picking on you or getting physical with you? Because I met your brother. He doesn't seem like a bad guy, but do you think he was beating you up just to beat you up because he didn't like you or because you were his little brother?
Because I was his little brother. I mean, I was his little brother. It's almost in those years, mm-hmm. meaning in that generation, it was almost like part of the job description. You know, you put that in the resume. I was a older brother. What did you do? Beat the shit out of my little brother. And but it wasn't out of malice. Mm-hmm. Okay. It started with like maybe roughhousing. Mm-hmm. And the problem is my brother, and you've met my brother.
Big dude.
Very, very big dude.
Big ass dude.
And he most of the times does not really know his own strength. And, you know, a little slap here, a little slap, ha ha, everything. Next thing I know, I have a black eye. And, you know, there's some explaining to do to the parents. it wasn't out of malice. I don't think he was bullying me or anything. It was just the older brother thing. And, you know, looking back at it, somebody one time asked me, what do I feel builds character? And I said, an ass whooping. And I think that was part of my character building sessions.
That's interesting. I would, it's funny because I would love to get like an opinion of, you know, some psychiatrist or therapist around that. But like, you know, I don't necessarily disagree with you. Like, I would never want my children to fight like that, right? But we've talked about that before, right? Like, a lot of problems with like social media, right? Like, everybody is tough because you're typing 160 words per minute and there's nobody in front of you to take care of those consequences. It's a different story once you get hit in the mouth once and you're like, well, maybe I shouldn't say that, you know?
And that's what it is. I mean, yeah, say it to my face. That's the one thing that we've lost. It's 160 characters, not 160 words, yeah. But you know, we'll let that one go. But yeah.
No, I said 160 like words a minute, douchebag. Like, I like type 160 words a minute, not 160 Damn. Characters. I'm defending my honor.
Well, you want to fight now?
I'm going to poke you in the fucking virtual eyes.
And see, this is exactly what we're talking about. We're having two guys. And, you know, to me, you know, it seems like this whole wanting to get physical and everything going, you know, going to hands, it has to do with defending your honor, your territory.
Yeah. So why do guys do that? Like, for honestly, okay. So you and I are really good friends, right? And we have done some dumb shit together and we joke around and our humor off mic is a lot different than our humor on mic. And I think a lot of guys are like that, right? Like where we say things to each other, we rib at each other, we poke fun at each other, we borderline bully the shit out of each other, but we all laugh, right? And it's almost like a rite of passage for men, for young boys to be like that with one another. And it's, but there's no ill will between us afterwards. And, but at the same time, this type of candor and dialogue that dudes have together also is that same energy that could lead to violence, right? So we could be out bullshitting at a bar and we're all joking around and we're ribbing on each other. And then, you know, that some guy comes walking in and says something stupid to the conversation, or might tell you that, hey, you guys are being too loud, or whatever the case may be, whatever that jerk off wants to say to you, and it ignites, right? And then now you're in a group of your friends and you have a guy mouthing, you have somebody else mouthing off to you. So what do you do? Like, right? So then, you know, you always got that one dude in the group that are like, no, let's fuck this guy up. No, you didn't talk shit. And then that guy's the one that runs his mouth. He gets you into all kinds of trouble. And he's probably the guy that can't fight because he has the biggest mouth out of everybody in there. And he drags you into this thing. And then as a guy, you feel like you have no choice, right? Like you have to go in and defend your boys or defend your honor or your manhood. And, you know, I just think it's really interesting because, you know, especially working in the nightlife, you saw that a lot, right? Like you would even see that with the customers at the bar. Like it was always over something stupid.
It's kind of weird because I think it all boils down to perception in some of these cases. Like amongst us, amongst the group, yeah, did we get physical with each other? Yeah, we did. I remember at one bar, we were having a good time and then we just were standing in a circle. Somebody slapped the hell out of the guy to the right of him and said, hey, pass it down. And then all we were doing was slapping each other, and the bouncers at that club were looking at us like, what do we do there here? But, you know, and it's fine. And, you know, because it's our little group. But if somebody from outside the group slapped one of us, well, it's on.
Yeah, it's
on like Donkey Kong, yeah. But it's the same thing, you know. It's kind of like a perception thing because I could call you, you know, whatever expletive, you know, I want to call you because we're boys. We've known each other for almost 20 years mm-hmm. and we will laugh it off. But if somebody comes over and is not part of that group and calls me the exact same expletive, then, oh shit, you know, fucking grab your mouthpiece because we're fighting.
So why do you think men have this predisposition to violence and fighting?
Well, I think let's get real geeky here, but quick. So when we talk about evolution and all this stuff, I mean, and just about any or a great majority of the species out there in the world, males are prone to violence. And it's if it's going to violence, they go into some sort of violent ritual, like I'll say, a ram mm-hmm. that they run from like 10, 20 feet across and they just butt heads and you hear that loud clang. It's either for territory, for mating rights, to be the alpha male. Mm-hmm. And it always has to be about some sort of dominance. In the animal world, it's something a little bit more primal, you know, mating, dominance, group leader, pack leader, whatever. Mm-hmm. For us, it's, yes, it's dominance. Possibly mating.
Possible. I mean, if you go back to Neanderthal days, that's exactly what happened. Yeah.
And, you know, but for us, you know, in early man, it was survival. It was survival, you know, because, hey, you might be hunting that whatever animal they were hunting, but then some other large predator was hunting it as well. So it was a survival instinct. And then once, you know, man started to evolve, organize, and became these groups, packs, whatever you want to call them. And, you know, moving around, they find another group, they got to fight for territory.
You're talking about early man. historically, combat fighting has been a male impulse. So now you take, as man evolves, they take not only this fighting still part of a ritual to get into manhood, right? But now we've made sports out of it, right? And regardless of what sport you really play, if you really look at the dynamics of the sport and you look really in, like, most of these sports are violent sports, like football, you know, and we're going to stay away from combat sports, but like football, you know, hockey, soccer, you know, lacrosse, even baseball. Like, there's still some physical contact with these sports. You move into boxing and MMA and martial arts, and there's always, we took that instinct that we've had of self-defense and fighting and war, and that they took that early man savagery and turned it into a sport. And I just find it really interesting, and I think it's something that's worth having a conversation around, because I'm older now, and I sure as hell, I like to think of myself a lot more calmer than I was when I was in my early 20s. And even in my early 20s and late 20s, I wasn't as aggressive. Like, I was never that guy that looked for a fight. Like, I didn't go out hoping that we got into a fight. And I think everybody has that friend that is looking for a fight, right? But yeah, I just, so Julian, you think it's something that is baked into our DNA? And even more so, like, I'm curious. So you think it's baked into our DNA, but like, if you look at, like, you just, like, the point you made, the majority of the animal kingdom, males have always been predisposed to violence and wanting to fight and marking territory.
I think it's got to be somewhere down there in the genetic makeup. Has to be. Now we're going into nature versus nurture. Mm-hmm. But even it nurturing, you're nurturing this fighting, this violent, you know, compulsion that men have. And now, yes, and many of these sports now, even the violent ones, are women. Yes, absolutely, they're involved. But, you know, and not to sound sexist, but when you look at a fight card, MMA, boxing, or even like WWE.
Oh yes, majority.
The
men.
Majority are no, but the majority are the men.
Yeah, men. That's what I'm saying. The majority of men.
Exactly. Oh, okay. So, I think man was, you know, instinctively violent. And when I'm saying man as a gender, now it's kind of evolving. At least man as a species mm-hmm. is also violent, because, you know, women can go into the military. They go into these combat jobs. We've had females who have graduated from Ranger School and all these mm-hmm. high speed combat schools and stuff like that. So yeah, they're perfectly capable, but I think ingrained. I mean, whenever you look at, I don't know, the periods, like the Victorian periods, if a man insulted another man, you know, they take the little white glove, slap him across the face, and it's either they're going to do a sword duel, or they're going to take 10 paces with a, you know, with a old school musket pistols mm-hmm. at 10 paces. And, you know, if you die, you die.
Yeah, it's just crazy. And then, you know what, what's even crazier is that as humans, we've also had this urge to watch, right? Like violence and even like combat sports, it's always been a spectator sports. You got, like, up from the days of the gladiators, right? They made a sport out of watching people try of dying of watching complete bloodshed and violence. It's not like it is now, where you have a referee and a team of doctors there that can call a fight and judges. Like, you literally weren't walking out of these arenas. But I always find it fascinating, because even now, right? Like, if there's a fight, what do people do? They pick up their cell phones and they start recording, and then they post it on social media, and then all of a sudden that one dumb fight gets blown up, and overnight you have 10 million people watching it. And I've always wondered, like, what are those 10 million people thinking in their mind? And even the ones that aren't, like, violent and want to watch it still watch it. And they'll be like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. Why do people fight like this? But you're fucking watching it. You're part of, you're still part of the problem because you're making, you're helping this particular video go viral. Right. So you have, it's crazy because you have people that are like, damn, that dude got knocked the fuck out. And then you got them like, oh, I can't watch this. I just can't. I'm going to cover my eyes.
It's crazy. And again, you know, there's videos, fight videos of all the genders, but I mean, for the most part, it's dudes.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it also has to do with just the way that we are wired.
Mm-hmm.
And just go with me on this one. You know, we've talked about, you know, depression and things that men don't talk about. Okay. So women tend to be a little bit more open with their feelings, how they're feeling. They'll let you know if something's wrong, they'll let you know, you know, whether there's a conversation or not. So they do have that outlet. They have that way. If there's something wrong, they'll talk about it. They'll talk through it. With men, because we're just, you know, ignorant emotional apes, we don't talk about it. We'll just go straight from, you know, we'll go straight from, you know, a relish to seeing ketchup. And, you know, we skip right over the mustard and, you know, the fight begins. And it's
so are you saying that fighting is an emotional release for men?
Part of it. I think it's a release, yes, but it's also a display because there's got to be a winner, there's got to be a loser. I at least in a street fight, for the most part, a sanctioned fight, there's got to be a winner or a loser, but mm-hmm. by decision, just anyway. But you know, in a street fight, usually the loser is the one that is bloodied,
yeah,
on the ground and maybe even unconscious.
It's a good point that you kind of bring up. And the reason why I asked you if you think it's an emotional release, right? Because we talk about how men are predispositioned to violence and wanting to fight, right? And you have certain degree of cases of that. So it could be very mild, right? Like you can meet a guy that's never been into a fist fight, right? Maybe a couple arguments, maybe got close, maybe they were bullied. They probably have had some run-ins with violence. Then you have some medium cases where, you know, kids are forced to fight or you've had to defend yourself for whatever reason. But then we start moving into another spectrum where you have severe cases, right? Where all they see, you have these guys that are like blind rage, or they think it's fun to fight or bully or pick on people. And it even leads to, it even gets drawn into their relationships, right? With the opposite sex or the same sex. And they have abusive relationships where they feel like they have to get physically violent with somebody. And it could be something that happened to them in a younger age where they feel like this is, in a sick way, how they show emotion to other people, right? So like, it's kind of like if they had a dad that beat their mom, that's what they learned, right? And then, I mean, we've seen it, right? It's almost like that. And forgive me, I don't know if it's the right thing to say, but like Stockholm syndrome, right? Like if you're in an abusive household and you're in an abusive household and the person who's being abused has, even though they know that it's not right, they always side with the person because they say they love them, or
you only guess like this after a few drinks,
exactly. They make excuses and stuff like that.
They rationalize
and,
it,
you know, and especially back in the day, like there were no hotlines or, you know, people coming to the rescue. There wasn't any social media, you know, so it was almost okay back then. Like it was something that, you know, it was like one of those unspoken things that you just didn't talk about because nobody wanted to talk about it. And then
it was kind of taboo.
Yeah. So then you have these young men that are watching and young women that are watching their parents do this to each other. And then it's like a vicious cycle. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's almost like history repeats itself. And I don't think it's a I don't think it's everybody, but I think it has to be a somewhat of a majority of children that see that end up having those same type of feelings or those same type of strong emotions that they act out on when they come of age.
Yeah. I mean, I have to agree with you on that. I want to kind of go back to the extremes that you were talking about. You know, when we're talking about this physical need for this physical violence, when we're going from one extreme to the other extreme, it's almost like, you know, have you ever seen like those little magnetic toys that, you know, you just put one because the poles reject each other. They like spin around or anything like that.
Yeah.
I seen it kind of in the same way as, you know, like you said, the ones that I've probably never fought and kind of put into a situation there in this extreme. And then the ones in the middle that, okay, may have, maybe, you know, took some martial arts when they were, you know, growing up and stuff, maybe hold their own and stuff like that. But then the other ones, the more extreme cases, a lot of them, I think a lot of them is an image thing for them. It's a need for dominance. And
absolutely
goes into toxic masculinity and, you know, depression, all this stuff. A lot of the stuff that we've talked about in earlier episodes, but you know, when you're in these abusive relationships, it just, or just somebody, or that guy that just goes out and looks for a fight, it's just, it's a good possibility that that's the only way that that person feels like they're either dominant, or that's how they feel like that's their only real skill in life, is, you know, showing that they're possibly the bigger man, the stronger man, you know, the one that could take the most hits and things like that.
And you're right. And I see where you're going with this. And I don't really think it's them showing their skill. I think it's the only way they know how to assert themselves, right? So like, we'll take me for instance. If I'm upset at somebody, or even we'll take in a work environment, if someone says something to me that I feel is disrespectful or I don't agree with, I'm going to have a conversation with them and be like, dude, listen, you know, I don't necessarily agree with you on whatever take you have or whatever the case may be. And I'm going to try to talk with them, right? But when you have this particular person that only knows anger and only knows how to get what they want by using their dominance to get it, where they are either like threatening, right? Like they'll be like, no, you're going to do this now. Right. And I mean, you've had plenty of jobs and you've been in the military. So I'm sure you've seen plenty of that. Like, you're going to do it my way or no way. Right. Or it's classic. Like, you see it so much. It's like, dude, do you want a hug? Like, why are you so angry? But I don't think they know any better. Like you couldn't wrench out any emotion out of them unless you did it by matching their emotion, by fighting fire with fire, which personally, I don't know if that's a good thing to do, especially with people like that, because I think they feed off of that negative energy.
Yeah. Definitely. I agree with you on that. It's, I mean, how does somebody get to that point? I don't know, man. I'm not I don't have a title with a D at the end of it. So I couldn't say what the circumstances are that brought that individual, but I'm guessing of it was probably a tough life, you know, maybe a dysfunctional family, maybe an abusive family, things like that. But I mean, and that over accentuated need of a man to have to fight.
Yeah. Do you think, I've always wondered, and I don't know about nowadays, but maybe back in like this, the 50s, 60s, young men that were raised only by a dad that lacked that, you know what I mean? Because like sometimes, you know, a lot of men lack empathy and sympathy if we've talked about that, right? Like doing the whole macho thing, that they don't have, they lack that emotion, the love, you know, the tender heart of your mother, you know what I mean? Like, I think that could play into it. I don't know if that's necessarily, that's not a story you hear often, that somebody's raised just by their dad. I'm sure it happens a lot more than I'm probably thinking in my head, but that could be it, right? Like they don't have that mother figure. I mean, you can make that argument for some of these impoverished areas in the United States that are riddled with violence, because, you know, you have you know, family members, moms, you know, that are on drugs, or they're trying to make ends meet and feed their children by doing whatever means possible, and they're absent from a young man's life.
Well, yes, but you could also look at the aspect of that. So was it the person became violent because of their home environment, or is the person violent because of their out of home environment? Because, you know, even again, a lot of these impoverished, you know, cities, you know, however you want to put it, you know, there's people that have values, and, you know, that family values or anything else like that. But once they leave the safety of the home, now it's survival out on the streets.
Yeah.
And now these young men, I mean, young women too, but mainly young men, have to start to nurture more that violent nature as a survival tactic, exactly, as a survival mechanism, just to make it through the day. So
that's true. That's a really good point.
A lot of it has to do with, you know, inner sources, and then there's your outer sources that, yeah, you know.
That's so a really good point.
It's that balance. Got to kind of look at the specific situation, I guess.
It's a really good point that you bring up, because it was necessary for them to survive, right? So they had to match whatever their environment is. How do they say it's like survival of the fittest. You want to make sure that you're coming out every day, right?
You're the best adapted. The most adapted one wins.
Absolutely. You know, and you saying that kind of makes me think back to when I was a kid, right? Like how my parents brought me up. Like my mom and my dad took a very similar stance in raising my brother and I. And, you know, it was always about respect and being cordial and being nice and family first and all that stuff. But both my parents always instilled to me and my brother not to be a pushover, right? Like, you stand up for what you believe in. If you see something wrong, say something. If anyone ever tries to become violent with you, or if anybody ever puts their hands on you, that I had their blessing to give them a two-piece and a biscuit, right? And it's something that always stuck with me from a little kid. I always knew that if I had to defend myself, I would never get in trouble with my parents. And, you know, my dad probably tried to shove a little more of that machismo, like, you know, my dad used to box when and stuff like that. So he would teach me, and he'd be like, all right, if anyone ever does this, you do this. Or put your hands up, show me how you're gonna block this, you know, stuff like that. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I honestly, I want my children to know how to defend themselves. But besides the point, as I grew up and like going through high school and then through my 20s, I never looked for trouble. And honestly, I was that guy that avoided trouble. I didn't, you know, if someone started raising their voice at me and talking shit, like, I already knew that they probably couldn't do anything to me, right? It's always the guy that has the loudest mouth that is the person you have to be the least afraid of. It's that crazy guy that sits quiet, smiling in the back, nodding his head like, yeah, that guy could probably kick my ass. But, you know, I always tried to avoid it. Like, I never fought over girls. I didn't fight over dumb shit like what I was wearing. Like, I never bullied anybody. Like, people would try to pick on me, but they would saw that I was never bothered by it. But, you know, I never had to come to violence to get people to back off me, because I just took it better than most. But that was something that always, in my head, I was like always thinking, you know, my mom and my dad always instilled in me, like, listen, you treat everybody with respect, and you don't ever start a fight. But if you need to defend yourself, you know, you have our blessing.
Yeah, and it was the same thing with you know, my brother and I and all this stuff. So getting beat up by my older brother made me realize that I did not like getting hit. kind of suck. That's why I never played football. I never played hockey. I never played lacrosse. I played soccer, but you know, I didn't play a lot of those like full contact, you know, sports growing up because I don't like getting hit. So same as you, I would rather just like, you know, you said once, use that verbal kung fu or just use my wits, my mind to get out of, you know, out of a situation. Because even, yeah, you know, when we were working together, you know, at the club, you know, there were some nights that we kind of instigated something a little bit because, you know, we were kind of bored. But I mean, that was not the norm. But we also worked with some of the guys who are great guys. I mean, if I was to ever be in a gunfight, there's quite a few of them that I would not mind having on my side. But, you know, you do the face palm emoji and you're like, dude, was that really necessary? Because now here we are, it's like 12 of them. And then there's like four of us.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you stick a bunch of dudes and in an environment like that, it's just bound to happen. Like alcohol, music, 5,000 people in an area that only fits like 999, you know, it gets tight. Tempers are super on edge, and it's gonna happen. And unfortunately, okay. Like you said,
but yeah, but it's one thing, you know, if you're in a crowded club, you know, you know, the music's pumping, everybody's having a good time. Maybe somebody gets hit or shoved within the clientele. It's one thing that, you know, tempers flare. That's one thing, but is when you're coming into a shift on a Tuesday night, because we know Tuesday nights were rough nights. We got to tell those specific individuals, we're like, yo, bro, I really don't feel like getting punched in the face tonight. Can you cool it tonight?
No, absolutely. And those, we had those conversations often. And I'm probably, and as people listen to this, they're probably like, well, why did you even have those guys on staff? And
because they were good in a fight.
Because they were good in a fight. And honestly, like, it's very difficult to find people to work those type of jobs for at that time was $7.50 an hour, right? Like there are a lot of smart people out there. Yeah, there was a lot of people out there that were a lot smarter that knew that they could make a lot more money without getting punched in the mouth. And, you know, in hindsight, looking back on it, yeah, I probably should have let go a lot of those people. And if I could write a referral to some psychiatric help, because some of them had some serious screw looses, but they were all right guys. They just had this need to have an outlet of violence. Like it was weird. Like they wanted to be engaged and want to fight. And I personally have never felt that. Like I've never felt the need. Like I've never woke up in the morning like I want to punch this son of a bitch in the mouth. I've never had too much to drink and be like, I want to punch this son of a bitch in the mouth. You know what I mean? Now, I've been in the same room with somebody who's been annoying the living shit out of me. And I'm like, how can I possibly kick this dude in the throat to get him to shut up? You know what I mean? But I've never just woke up angry and want to fight. Like I've just never had that feeling before. And I feel like some of these guys We're like that. They were wired like that.
And it's an interesting point that you're making. And I think comedian Bill Burr one time in one of his bits said that that's what separates the psychos from the functioning psychos. Is the functioning psycho thinks about it and says, okay, yeah, but I'm not going to act on it. And then the psycho is the one, fuck it, what can happen? You know? And I think that's where you know, evolution or just having fucking common sense comes into play is that, yes, I've been in a room or in the house with, you know, certain individuals. And I was like, you know, if I walk past him and I just shove his head into the wall of the hallway, I'll feel a lot better. But I don't act on it. I'll have the thought, yeah, but I just don't act on it. But then there's other people that might be like, oh, I'm going to need to call a drywall guy because I'm about to put somebody's head through for no fucking good reason.
That's funny. No, but you're right though. Like, I mean, look, even in professional settings, you know, there's always that guy that just gets you like just wound up like a top. Like you're just like, the tension is so high, like you, and you have to, you're at work, so you have to be nice and you have to be cordial and you have to be careful with the things you say. But in your mind, you're like, you just want to freaking throw somebody through a door. Like it's just, it could be very stressful.
Catch me outside after work.
Yeah, catch me outside. Okay. How about that? But yeah, you know, like it could be, but it could be really stressful. Like it, like to have that tension built up, and it's and it makes things awkward because like you don't want to work with that individual, and but then you at the same time you're having these thoughts of violence in your head. I think we've all had that. Like for you to say that you've never had a thought of violence, I think you're not human. Because it's not true.
I call bullshit on that.
And yeah, what of not of saying that?
I've never had a violent thought in my mind.
No. I had a good friend once that she told me that she's never had a violent thought in my life. I'm like, I've seen you drive, and when someone cuts you off, that's violence. You might not act out on it, but that's rage. Like everyone has that rage button. It could be a really itty bitty case with everything stuffed in there, but everybody has it in them to do bad things.
And unfortunately, some people are wired to, not only do they push the button, they put duct tape over that motherfucker that you've pressed.
Then you look at how some people control, you know, those violent tendencies by engaging in combat sports, right? Doing, you know, martial arts, mixed martial arts, you know, boxing. And as much as those sports are violent, they're also outlets, right? Like they, you know, you go, you spar, you get the energy out of you, and you just feel better. And it's the same thing with like exercise, right? Like if, you know, you do some running or high intensity workout, and you're releasing all that frustration and stress, and you're leaving it in whatever workout you did, and your body just feels better. And you know, I think combat sports and sports in general sometimes get a bad rap for violence, but it's an outlet, right? Like it's a way to release. If not, then you would just have all these people out there, you know, wanting to get into a fist fight. You know, I would rather fight in a controlled environment than out in the street, because it's less likely to, you know, end badly as far as injuries are concerned.
And I mean, there's different ways to look at it also. I mean, if you're going to have somebody who might even have that violent tendency to want to fight, hey, you know, make a living out of it. Go. And take it out. I'd rather you be in a sanctioned fight where there's rules, you know, if something happens, they stop it, then you be out in the street, somebody bumps you, yeah, and they don't say, oh, my bad, or excuse me. And then you're like, oh, well, motherfucker, you're going to shout, you know, and it gets ugly. And yeah, these tendencies too are not only, they're exhausting. They're very exhausting. It's almost like if your phone is on roaming, the battery just goes, and it dies quicker because the phone is working harder. It's the same thing when you have these violent thoughts over and over, and they're just, you know, eating you up throughout the day. It's fucking exhausting.
And I think now in the time that we live in, it's really important to understand that, right? Because we're living in some crazy times, right? We're stuck at home, where we've been asked to stay at home for like the last 90 days. You know, a lot of the things that people enjoy to do are not available for us to do anymore. And even some of the niceties of life, as simple as getting a haircut or grabbing dinner on the way home, is not available to us anymore. You're stuck in your house with your children and your spouse, or alone, right? And either you lost your job, or you're relearning how to telecommute, and it puts stress on you, and it could really develop into anger. Like literally, you could be looking at, you know, you can be staring at the same, you know, people and just nitpicking and starting arguments for no reason, or, you know what I mean? Like anything, like any regular, like spousal disagreement can be escalated just because you haven't been able to get any space from one another. And, you know, I know me personally, like in the last 90 days, like I have felt like pent up frustration over nothing, because I just couldn't do the things that I wanted to do. Like I have no escape. Like, I could walk to my driveway and then walk back, you know? And I found myself that, honestly, I wasn't doing anything to release those stresses. I wasn't exercising. I wasn't meditating. Wasn't talking about it. Things like that. And, you know, now when I feel like I'm going to pop, I try to take it out physically on myself by going for a run, kayaking, meditating. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's important that you have to release energy, those negative energies, by doing something positive, like working out, or I don't know, even if you find playing video games is de-stressing, that's fine with me. Do it, man. Like, instead of keeping that all in, like, have at it.
Yeah, I mean, we all need to decompress, and we're living in some strange times. Tempers are flaring, you know, regardless of the situation, you know. Just like I talked about it, I think in episode 2, I noticed, you know, my snitchy alarm. I ended up turning off that voice because it was just driving me crazy every time somebody opened the door, any of the doors. So I ended up turning it off. So no, yes, you know, right now in the environment and that we are forced to live in, you know, a lot of these pent up rages, you know, things, you know. So yeah, definitely we need to find outlets, whatever the outlet is going to be, a healthy one. Hopefully people choose a healthy outlet. But yeah, working out, you know, I mean, one of the biggest things when I see my therapist, when I'm talking about my depression, my anxiety, and PTSD, is one of the things that they always recommend on top of the medication is like exercise. Exercise is one of the greatest ways, because, you know, you're releasing all these chemicals and all these happy chemicals, and you feel good, you feel better, you know, you look, yeah, and all this other stuff. And yeah, I mean, I've actually, during the quarantine, I found a lot of relief in exercising. I have a little punching bag in my garage.
Dude, you should really try meditating.
I need to try meditating. Our, you know, my friend Cynthia told me about that too. She's like, you need to meditate for like 5 minutes, even if it's in your car.
Yeah.
You know,
you should try it. Like, 5 minutes. That I sent you that link for the app that we use, and I had it in the show notes. But it's honestly, dude, like, I thought it was really stupid at first, and I didn't take it seriously at all. But now I find, like, sometimes even when I'm sitting here at my desk and it'll be like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and I could just feel like the tension like building up, like in my shoulders or like in the front of my head. And I just take 2 seconds. I take a step back. I plant both my feet on the floor. It's not like meditating, like, you know, like Gandhi, like where you cross your legs and you make circles out of your pointer and your thumb and you put them on your kneecaps and om. Like, it's not like that at all, but like you find something to, you try to blank out your mind and you focus on your breathing. And it's a really good exercise because you kind of block everything out, like all the noise. And I think after a while, because I've been doing this for about almost 2 years now, and now I find that I think I subconsciously meditate on my own, like when I'm not doing anything, where I'm blocking things out, like if I'm in a stressful situation or if there's people maybe around me that are talking a bunch of bullshit and like being negative, and my mind goes into this like filtering state where it just blocks everything out, and it's almost like I hear nothing. And it's really empowering, to be honest with you, to not feel that negative energy. And you know, it's one of those things, right? Like dudes don't meditate. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's really funny because like when I tell people that I meditate, they look me from head to toe and they're like, really? And I'm like, yeah, I meditate and it works. And it, you know, I'm not meditating for like an hour. I think the longest I've ever meditated for was like 30 minutes and it was on an airplane, believe it or not. And, but it helps me, you know, and I tell people they should try, and all it takes is 5 minutes. And, you know, it's, I always feel more relaxed. And I don't know, like if you track your heart rate or anything like that with a fitness tracker, like you see your heart rate decrease after 5 to 10 minutes, even a minute after meditating, you see a significant decrease in your heart rate when you do it properly.
I should try it, yeah, because lately, especially at work, have a conversation, talking to somebody and they're talking to me and I'm, nodding my head. Oh yeah, sure, sure. But in my mind, this guy's a fucking idiot. So I think I'm going to try that out.
You should, man. Honestly, you really should. I think anybody will enjoy it, to be honest with you. It's just, I think a lot of people have a problem being comfortable either alone or being comfortable with themselves. So, I think meditating gives you an opportunity just to focus on yourself. And honestly, it's like, I break it down to almost like, it's like praying, right? Like, if you are a religious person, when you were growing up, you're always taught to pray before bed, pray before meals. You pray during stressful situations, you ask God for forgiveness, and regardless of what you think, people find solace and peace in this when they're asking for God's forgiveness or when they're asking for the Lord to bless them or to show them the path. And some people pray for 2 minutes to an hour. And,
my mom,
exactly. And, I'm a Christian and I believe in God, but I tell people all the time, you're making fun of me because I meditate. I can make fun of you because you're praying to nothing. Like like we look the same way when we have our eyes closed, right? Like you don't know what I'm doing. So I think it's interesting that people will try to pull your man card because you tell them that you're meditating, and it's the same guy that goes to church every Sunday and things like that, which is nothing wrong with it. Like I said, I'm a Christian but I think it helps you find your peace when you do it. So try it.
I'm going to try it, but
I'm going to
pivot real quick and on something. I'm talking about all this, very male oriented, that need, that feel, that impulse to want to. I'm so glad that for the most part we've evolved out of that. Because, mm-hmm. Talking about just animals or organisms in general, a lot of times the male has to do it for the territory, for a female. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad we got past that. Because if not, man, I'd be 40 and I'd still be a virgin. Because I fought, but I've gotten my ass kicked. I'm shy enough as it is, just having a conversation with a woman. Now, if I have to get my face punched, I'm like, I'll go home.
Yeah, she's yours.
I'll go home and play the home game.
No, man, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. You can have her. That's hilarious. So let me ask you this before we wrap this up. So I know you have 3 girls, right? What is your take now as a dad in teaching them, I guess, about violence, right? Like what's your thought process around them defending themselves or what's your take on fighting and things like that? Like with bullying and stuff with your kids.
So my take is, I'm going to go with the, let's take the high road first. If you're getting mm-hmm. bullied, tell us, tell your teacher, tell somebody, tell a parent, tell an adult, mm-hmm. If it's not taken care of at the lowest level, as like they like to say, if somebody puts hands on you, hey, put hands back. Now my obstacle with that is with the mothers of my daughters, because I have mm-hmm. I have the very pacifist, I have the one in the middle, and my current wife that is like, just beat the shit out of them. Like, whoa. Can we at least teach them to go to the, because one thing that I've always said about little Juliana, and I say it jokingly, but I know that she's going to be like this more than likely. I always say this girl's going to be a dick puncher, which I'm glad. I'm super happy.
That's good.
I'm super happy. But literally one of my biggest fears. So we put her in Taekwondo for last year, before COVID mm-hmm. and all this stuff. and she was really loving it and all this stuff. And I'm like, knowing this child, oh my gosh, she's going to fucking karate chop somebody at the school. I'm going to have to go because she's a wild child, but I never had to answer that phone call. But yeah, definitely, you know, protect yourselves. I mean, if they can learn any sort of, my middle daughter, she was doing jiu-jitsu, which I was like super happy mm-hmm. about. Yeah, take that dude to the ground. Now, as a defense, now if you instigate or you initiate the fight, now you're going to get two piece and biscuit.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. And like we've talked about before, I have a daughter and I have a son.
And, one of the cutest things ever, you know, by the way.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Oh, God.
They're both little hams, that's for sure. So, especially when the camera comes on. But, you know, it's funny because I want to say there's no differences, right? Like, you know, that's like, no, I'm going to raise them the same. And you can't, and it doesn't exist. I really don't. I don't believe that way, right? But at the same time, the one thing that I want both of them to know and instill in them is that I want them to know that they have to take care of themselves, right? Especially in the environments that we live in today. Like, just imagine what some of these kids are going through in elementary school with having social media and people bullying and forcing them to do things that they don't want to do. And I want them to know they don't have to do things that they don't want to do. And I want them to stick up for themselves, you know?
So I wanted to kind of tell a little bit of, not a little bit, a very sad story when it comes to that. So I think I've mentioned my wife works for the school district. She works at a middle school. Mm-hmm. And last year there was one student, I think they were like maybe 14 or 12, something like that, mm-hmm. who, because of bullying, actually committed suicide.
It's sad, man. It happens a lot.
It does.
Like, honestly, like when I went to high school, I didn't know anybody who committed suicide. And I went to a high school with almost 1,500 mm-hmm. kids. And now, like, I hear stories of like my little cousins or my friends' kids that have kids that are committing suicide in middle school and elementary school. That's insane.
It is. It's insane.
But it's sad. But, you know, like, I want to make sure, like, this is the thing that pisses me off about parents, right? This is what really sets me off. Well, you can't control everything your children do. And you're right. I can never control everything my kids do. But I'll be damned if they will never learn the consequences of doing things. Because that whole shit like, oh, kids are kids, boys will be boys, that's horse shit and that's bullshit.
To a certain degree. I mean, to a certain degree, yes, boys will be
to a certain degree.
Boys.
But still, like we like you said, we've evolved, yeah. right? Like, my son is not going to be a punk and he's not going to be a bully.
Exactly.
Because I will not, as long as I'm breathing, it's not going to happen. It just won't. For a couple things. One, he has an older sister that is autistic. So now, not only do I have to teach him how to be a gentleman, a young man, and defend himself, but I also have to instill in him that he one day might have to take care of his older sister, you know? And he's going to have to be an advocate for her. And my hopes is that he'll be an advocate for anybody with special needs or with who are being bullied or anything to that effect.
Absolutely. I mean,
It starts at home, right? And, you know, my children will know how to say please and thank you. They will have the best manners in the world. I will spoil them rotten to the best of my abilities, but they will always know why they're being spoiled rotten and that their parents love them to death. But I want them also to know how to be tough, because honestly, as much as we always joke around about how things are easier now than they were back then, now it's like a mental mindfuck to be a child growing up now. Because you have all these different facets and all these different avenues. Not only are you drawn to, but then you get addicted to, like social media. You know, you can't even play a video game now without without having to talk shit to somebody at 6 years old. That's why I stopped playing video games, because I was getting into verbal arguments with a fucking 9 year old. You know, and like, what do you say?
It's total sensory overload. Yeah, yeah, you're absolutely. I was growing up with video games. You know, I was playing Super Mario, like the original. I wasn't talking to shit to anybody except my brother, you know, who maybe I got a higher score than him. Ha ha ha. Punch in the face. But, you know, that was a bit, that was about it. You know, but no, I agree. Yeah, you know, so, kids, you know, young people today. Yeah, I mean, they have it easy in a lot of stuff, but then they have it really a lot harder in other ways. It is. They have a whole lot more coming at them from a lot more directions than what we had. We had front, right, left, and back, pretty much.
I think it's funny because I have this friend that's on social media, and I always see their posts about how easy their children have it. And they have all this stuff and life is so easy and these kids don't know anything. But at the same time, they're that same person that gets like butthurt over social media posts. And then they express their entire lives on Facebook or Twitter or whatever. And my thought is like, if you, a grown man or woman in your late to mid 40s, can't handle the emotion and the senseless stupidity of social media, how do you think your children are going to react? And your children are probably learning from your own reactions because they're probably friends with you on these social media platforms. So they see how mommy and daddy react on social media. It's no different than them seeing you angry at home or arguing with daddy before dinner. Like, you know, it's just funny how people just see a screen as a clear, the screen is like the screen in general, no matter what device is, like is a clear veil. Nobody sees it. Right. And then, but then everybody wants to blame other people. Like people blame Facebook for the problems that their kids are having, or people blame TikTok or Twitch or Twitter or Instagram. And they're like, it's their fault. And I'm like, eh. You're an adult and you can stop them, right? Because you buy them the phones, you buy them the devices. You can control a lot of this stuff, and you should. And I guess really my point is this is, think about what this is going to look like 20 years from now, right? Like, we're talking about violence in young men and in men, but what is that where is that violence going to go? Like, if we're right and we are naturally dispositioned to violence, anger, war, what do you think it's going to look like 20 years from now? Are we really evolving as humans? Are we going to become more docile creatures? No, I don't think so.
So I mean, here's what I think when it comes to violence. So as the art of war, I guess, the act of war, the act of violence, the act of combat has evolved, you know, through technology and all those things. Mm-hmm. It has become a lot less personal. Okay. So I'm going to explain.
Yeah.
So back in the revolutionary days, you know, one was one of the things that, you know, they lined up in their volleys. They won volley one, volley two. And one of the things they say, do not shoot until you see the whites of their eyes. Well, what that meant was, don't shoot until they're so close that you could see the white of their eyes. So
I think what those muskets had like ranges of like, what, like 20
and
yards.
They knuckleballed because there was no rifling and blah, blah, blah. Anyway. Yeah. So that had made it very personal because you literally had to look at the other person's eyes and literally look them in the eye as you're shooting them or try to shoot them. Now we can literally push a button from hundreds of miles away and beep, drop something and there it goes. So it's not as personal as it used to be. Okay. So I think unless we come to a point where we stop being so violent and we just kind of come together, like, you know, the Federation, hopefully, it's just going to become less and less personal. It's just going to be more of a, okay, I'm in an office. What? Nuke them? All right. Hold on a second. Click. All right, cool. Next. What's next on the agenda? That kind of things, you know? It becomes a lot more desensitized if we don't do something about it.
people wage war on each other every day now on social media, right? Like, you're legit, like, everyone has to pick a side, right? You got people arguing about politics, about race, about religion, food you eat, whether you're vegetarian or you're carnivore, whether you're keto or whether you're paleo, you know, Apple and Android. I mean, it's crazy. Like you can't have your own identity anymore. Everybody wants you to drone in line and agree with them. I think it's fucking insane. Like, I just don't understand it. Where the hell did we go wrong?
That's right, bitch. Grab your operating system. We fighting.
Exactly. You know, anyway, so I think we might have gotten off a tad bit off topic. But at the same time, I think it all plays in, right? Like, people have a tendency to attach violence with physical, right? With actually fighting and weapons and throwing at each other. And though it has to be like that, right? To, like, you know, for police charges and stuff like that. But violence could be in the form of verbal or mental abuse. And it still has the same damaging effect, you know, on an individual. And, you know, I think it's important that if, especially men, because, you know, we kind of lean our topics around men and things that we don't like to talk about. But I think especially for men, if you're raising a young man or a boy into a man, that you have to have these conversations with them and how to give them outlets for their anger and what to do when you have this pent up energy and what happens if someone, you know, disses you on Facebook. I don't even know if I just aged myself by using the word this, but whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, what do you do? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you have to teach these young men how to deal with these things and that, you know, and how to better yourself and how to, you know, manage conflict, right? Because I think that's a very lost skill now, is managing conflict.
Yeah. Conflict resolution.
Yeah, which, absolutely.
And I think, yes, you're absolutely right. And yeah, we just kind of went on a little bit of a tangent. But I mean, I think I could sum it up saying that, you know, we started as, why do men have to fight? You know, we started off gender-wise, you know, not just humans, but I think it's ingrained genetically, you know, behaviorally, whatever you want to call it, through all species. But I think we as a human race do it the best. I mean, we have the most efficient ways. And I'm not saying that as a good thing. That's definitely not a good thing. We need to kind of evolve out of that and, you know, find a common ground, a middle ground. And, you know, we need to stop just pounding our chests just because we want to show, you know, just like I always say at the office, when two of my coworkers, you know, if they get into an argument, one of my things I say, listen, guy, either whip it out or hug it out. One of the two. So that's my one way of my conflict resolution. I say either whip it out or hug it out. One of the two.
Right. So anyway, so I think it's a good stopping point. So whether you agree with us or not on some of our takes around, violence in men or just violence in general, let us know. Give us a shout. You can go to our website, www.invinciblybroken.com. All of our episodes and our archive of episodes are on there, and you can interact and comment on our episodes right on the blog. You can follow us on social media, Invincibly Broken on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We are on any podcast platform that you listen to your podcasts on. So please, if you want to help us out, give us a like and subscribe to our podcast. That really goes a long way with us. It's just as much as listening. We really appreciate it. If you want to follow me personally, you can follow me at Invincibly_Orlando.
And you can follow me at Invincibly_Julian.
Guys, this podcast episode is officially over. Till next time.
Good night.
Don't be aggressive.
Don't
be aggressive. Don't be aggressive. Meditate. Go out and meditate.
Or medicate. Your PSA, whatever.
Meditate, medicate, whatever you need.